What to get the man who has everything? Trying to fit myself into a schedule and a wedding ring. Trying to eat everything. I was raised to come across my plate, then I better swing. Trying to turn Confederate flags into confetti strings.
I do.
Blam. I don't know your middle name. I'm just going to Samuel.
Actually, name's not bad. Benjamin. Common misconception.
Is it? What is it?
Just Ben.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
See, that's a perfect intro. Welcome to the Rod Squad, the internet's freshest Twilight Zone podcast.
Yeah.
We're a group of five college students take you through the internet's... Oh, the internet's. We're a group of five college students take you through the cult classic anthology television show, The Twilight Zone. We are missing Tabitha. She had a nasty run-in with some coffee while watching Memento with me, so...
Nasty run-in.
You watched Memento?
Yeah, tonight was Memento.
Did you like it?
Of course I liked it. Memento's the goat, dude.
It's weird.
Christopher Nolan. It's a great movie.
What does anthology mean?
It means that it's like multiple stories.
Oh.
Every episode's a different story.
Like Black Mirror is an anthology.
I can't tell if Connor's like dead right now or not.
We'll never know.
There's one good answer. And we're going to leave that to the viewers. So, as always, I am your host, number one Pokemon Go fan, Ben, joined by my lovely co-hosts,
Ashley,
Jeff, General Hugh G. Rection. Is that an actual
That's the worst one you've done so far.
That's pretty bad. Well, his name is just Hugh Rection.
No. When he was in the MIA, that stupid military group, he
well,
was
no, that's
General just Hugh G. Rection.
Oh, right, sorry, General Hugh Rection.
Hugh G. Rection.
I don't say the middle name, it's General Hugh Rection.
He did.
Well, that's good for him, but...
That's his name, he can say it however he wants.
Right,
I
know.
Your name?
Are you not going to let General Hugh G. Rection go by what he wants to go by?
The joke is huge erection, everybody.
What do you mean?
It's just his name.
What do you mean?
Are
you
mocking my
father?
Name?
Ben, you are an awful person and an awful roommate and an awful friend.
Aww.
That was a little far.
But you don't have the huge erection. He does.
Yes.
You
know
what? I
don't
know where that was
going. And our other co-host.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I was going to do a joke thing, but I can't.
Yes, you can.
Hi, my name is Steve Holt.
Yes.
Yeah. Arrested Development action.
Yeah, perfect.
Bad news about it. Last week's episode, could not find the Office bit on YouTube.
Which one?
The when Dwight is overly positive and screams.
Really,
morning.
I love that song.
It wasn't on YouTube.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You should have gone on Netflix.
Yeah, which episode was it?
It was.
I'm pretty sure it was season 7.
Oh, season 7, the one with like. What, 20, 30 episodes?
That's all of them, that one.
Yeah, I'm not going to go through a whole season
watch
for
the whole
a 30-second bit. Get out of here.
It should say it in the description.
Clearly you think too highly of this.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. So my weeks have been going swimmingly. How's everybody else's? What's been new?
Hanging in there.
I was dead the last week. I had a sinus infection, which I found out Carolyn gave me.
Hey, nice.
And she told me this week, and I was like, yeah, I have a sinus infection. I was like, oh, really? And then she listed all the effect, like, what happened to her. I was like, whoa, that was my week, too.
What is that animated movie where it's like, Carolyn, or is it Caroline?
Coraline?
Carolyn. I don't know how you can be so wrong yet so brave.
Dude. So my sister and her friend came up this week and we hung out Friday and Saturday.
We hanged out.
Yes.
That means you were hung like at the news.
I know. No.
Well,
but
you've spoiled my plans for later this evening.
Dang. No, but on Saturday morning we went out to this donut place right by F&M and we got some banging donuts that I brought home for the room.
Was banging.
This is the last Rod Squad where I am not 21 years old.
Aww. Oh, God, when is your birthday?
Oh, yeah.
This
Monday.
Week?
It is 6 days from now.
Perfect.
Cute. Happy birthday.
I have a big gift for you planned that I will be purchasing this weekend.
Hey, boom. How you doing?
I'm going to be 23. next month.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's crazy. I'm gonna.
You look like
you're
having
a baby.
You look like you're having an existential crisis right now.
I am.
You can buy booze anytime you want. I gotta wait till June.
You're not even. Oh, you are 20.
I am 20.
You're 19 for a solid 2 minutes.
I am not 19.
Well, you were.
Weren't we all?
Yes, we. I was 19 at one point.
Yes.
What is happening?
I don't know.
The podcast boys.
We're falling apart at the seams. Let's see. What else? Anything else? Anything spooky?
We watched Searching. Oh, we watched As Above, So Below?
Dude, the best horror movie ever. Watch it right now. It's on Netflix. It's amazing. Watch.
I Live with Ben Flam.
Oh, I Live with Ben Flam as well.
Hey, it's not the same because you're not in the same room anymore.
Yeah, feels bad.
You're
across the hall. You're just like looking
nice at
each other in the way.
Oh, that's being kept on, buddy.
Dude.
I hope it registered.
Me too.
Oh, it did. Because I was listening, while I was editing the other podcast, I could hear our neighbors, like, bang around up there.
Great.
Speaking of, hope it registered. I hope y'all are registered to vote.
Yes. Hey! Yes. Everyone should vote. Someone in our lives, or just specifically Ashley's life, said that she does not believe in the institution of voting, and then to that, I responded, well, then have fun with Donald Trump for another 4 years, my dude.
Did they say why?
Because it is an institutionalized thing that is forced upon people.
It is not forced
it's
upon
not.
People.
No.
You literally could have ended them in half a second.
Honestly,
God, it
probably be beneficial to
I just
be
ignored
forced.
The text message. Like, honestly, I was like, alright, I'm not even. I have bigger issues. You need to.
I am just trying to catch this drift one.
I have the horrors of fan. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but go vote.
Vote for whoever you wish.
If you're in Delaware County, vote for Mary Gay Scanlon.
And if you're
better
in Philadelphia County and you vote Republican, you really don't have a chance anyway. That city goes blue. So, yeah. Get out there and vote.
Oh, yeah. Vote for Bob Casey, too. Official Connor Buckley endorsement.
Episode 1, we're like, we're keeping this unpolitical. Episode 21, we're telling you who to vote for.
Some of us are.
But if you vote Republican, I won't hold that against you too much.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're allowed to vote who you want to. So, like, but you should participate in voting because then we're going to have a greater chance of having political people that actually represent your values.
Dude, honestly, if you want to, vote Libertarian and I won't laugh at you too much.
See, I don't mind Libertarian. It's more the Green Party that gets me giggling a little.
What?
The magic crystals. I think it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty funny.
A big thing in the Green Party right now is anti-vax.
Jill Stein.
Jill Stein. I'll be totally real with you. If we lived in Knoxville County, I would have voted Libertarian for Kane.
Oh, are you kidding? I would have voted for Kane in a heartbeat.
100%.
Because I live in Tennessee. I clearly don't care about the state of my life anyway.
You are.
How dare you be born in Tennessee? Who do you think you are?
That was my joke of the week.
I thought those were over.
They never got over.
Never really began.
They're back.
They're back.
When are they going to get over, though?
It's our Halloween episode. They're back from the dead.
Oh, yes.
This is our Halloween episode.
I guess it is.
Well, I picked a fantastic episode. And that episode is Elgeology, season 1 episode, which means you can watch it where, fellas?
On Netflix,
that's
on
one.
Hulu,
yeah.
On the DVD box set.
That's
Or
sitting
or,
right in that cabinet.
Or some sites that probably
Google
don't
Play
exist.
Google Play has it, yeah. And
we
so
don't,
does YouTube
Google
Play.
Play has it?
Yeah.
We don't know about or condone. So without further ado,
let's get into this mess of an episode.
Rod, take us in.
The time is the day after tomorrow. The place, a far corner of the universe. The cast of characters, three men lost amongst the stars. Three men sharing the common urgency of all men lost. They're looking for home. And in a moment, they'll find home. Not a home that is a place to be seen, but a strange, unexplainable experience to be felt.
We open up with three astronauts, Myers, Weber, and Kirby, who land their spaceship on a remote asteroid in the year 2186.
So after Fallout.
They
before
are
before Fallout, we'll get to Fallout. We'll get there.
And they're running out of fuel. When they land, they have a pretty big shocking surprise from the get-go. So let's hear them talk about what they found.
.95 parts oxygen, 78.09 nitrogen. I don't get it. That's air.
They're 655 million miles away from Earth, which according to Jamie is somewhere between Jupiter and Saturn.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Dude.
Also, I didn't go that far.
No.
They find out that they are...
where the asteroid belt is.
No.
It's not?
It's not. The asteroid belt is between Mars and Jupiter.
Oh. Rip.
Get wrecked. That could have been cool. That could have been
Using big brain, deep think scientific methods, they figure out that they are 655 million miles away from Earth, which would put them where, Encyclopedia Jamie?
We'll put them between Jupiter and Saturn, a place where there is not more than one sun.
Oof. This episode.
Yeah, there's also
yeah, that's some, what if they went the other direction though?
Yeah, true.
They didn't have to go towards
that is one direction of space.
There still wouldn't be two suns. They would still
be
in our
solar closer system. Would they still be our
Yeah, they would.
Our solar system is large.
we're only 93 million miles away from Earth, so if we went 655 million miles in the other direction.
We're only 93 million miles away from Earth.
That's
well, shucks. Where are we, Connor?
Are we on species?
We're 93 million miles away from the sun. So, yeah.
So why you've got your sunglasses on?
Ooh.
Ooh. I think you're giving him too much credit, but I like where you're going.
You know, that was nothing too bad.
I feel like Rod just kind of like rolled a couple pieces of dice and was like, all right, and then wrote down the number.
Even if we did go the other way, like, we'd still be in between Jupiter and Saturn.
No.
Because they're, well, their orbits.
Well, what if you went, like, down?
We would hit the sun and die.
That is.
No, the sun.
That's not how space works.
Ashley is having
space
a bad moment.
Space isn't flat.
Yeah, but it's.
What do you mean down?
Okay, so the Earth is sitting on the XY plane, right?
The
Earth
planets
is sitting
are
like
perfectly aligned in like a.
I know, but the Earth is sitting like this. So Ashley's saying when you take off from the Earth, you could go above, or you could go below,
or you could go towards the planet this way or towards the planet.
There is also a Z direction as well.
It doesn't matter where you go.
Yeah.
You wouldn't like.
You just wouldn't. But I'm saying like they wouldn't be around the planets though, for sure.
Well,
there wouldn't be by a place where
it's not near the planets.
It's still not far enough to hit another solar system.
Yes.
No matter where you go.
I've not been naming.
The astronauts explore the area for some time. They go to a marching band thing, and I was surprised I didn't see Connor there.
There was just an introduction for the new mayor. What was? Wasn't there a sign there that said something?
I like Fitch.
We like Fitch.
They found a mayor.
They're trying to do the I like I.
Like and there was a second sign that said something even more.
I don't remember.
Even more what?
Stupid.
I have Ligma.
Or like, congrats to new mayor or something. It was something really not specific.
They roll over. The one guy interrupts a married couple dancing. All these people are not moving. We should add. They are all.
They're trying to not move.
They're all right.
Yeah, that's kind of like the big thing with the episode.
It was the 1950s.
It shouldn't have happened in the first place.
Well, what were they going to do? Roll in a computer?
Not make that episode with that concept?
I think that you're judging too hardly.
I'm judging
for
as much as I want to.
That's what? 60, 70 years old now? 60?
My brain is gone. I'm sorry.
There's like one more scene. Don't they walk on like a fisherman or... Oh, it's like a... It's like a bar that he shows up to. And, everyone's like, ooh.
Well, that's when they split up, though, babe.
Yeah, they already have split up.
Whoa. Is he shopping for the pageant?
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. He walks into a pageant. The really ugly girl wins. She's like...
Your Majesty. I don't blame the judges. You're the prettiest of them all. But tell me something, Your Majesty. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with everybody in this crazy place?
All right, so the ugly girl won the pageant.
Yeah, ugly girl won the pageant.
He called her beautiful, though, so that's...
As a
nice.
Joke.
He did.
She looked like the 1940s equivalent of female Gru from Despicable Me. Beauty's on the inside.
That was a... I can't believe... It was the 1960s, so...
It looks like her name would be, like, Edna. She looks like Edna Krabappel from Jimmy Neutron.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Alright, we gotta stop picking on this lady.
Eventually, they do find someone who actually moves, and his name is Jeremy Wickwire.
No, that's not the creepy thing. The creepy scene is when he walks out of the pageant, and then the dude just turns around.
Yeah, and then
eventually they run into him, and, the last name, Wickwire, did you guys begin to suspect anything about that?
No.
Is that a suspicious name?
I just thought it was a dumb last name.
It's about the twist of the episode.
It's just a wick and a wire.
For crying out
loud.
Hey,
I don't
settle
know.
Down.
You're a big dumb.
You are not doing many things.
You're a big dumb.
We are big dumb.
This is the greatest episode we've ever done.
They find out that the asteroid they've landed on is an exclusive private cemetery known as Happy Glades, founded in the year 1973.
That was the year that Richard Nixon stopped being president.
Thank Christ.
Stopped being president.
He's like,
well, my job is
here.
What did Richard Nixon sound
like?
Well, my job here is done.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, Tricky Dick Nixon.
Tricky Dick is Bill Clinton's name. Hey, Monica Lewinsky joke in 2018.
Woo! Keep going.
We're really appealing to our old fans with this one.
Yeah.
Anyway, Wickwire then serves the three men wine, toasts their Satan arrival.
And sandwiches that look so sad.
And asks each man what his greatest wish is. All of them want to go home. Suddenly, this happened.
Now look, mister, you think...
All right, Pete. Mr. Wickwire, we're staying here.
Yes, I know.
Yes, but you said something about our being gone.
Oh, that's a figure of speech, Captain. I meant departed. Gone on, as it were.
Well, you know what he's saying, don't you?
I told you not to trust him! I told you!
They're being poisoned.
Whoa, I couldn't see that coming.
They're all dying. They're being poisoned with the eternifying fluid. What do you guys think that was?
I don't know. Cyanide.
Whoa.
No.
Well, if
it was
said
it was painless. Cyanide is typically kind of painful.
Very painful.
I think it was just straight up. Maybe it was like an OD on morphine. That's
they just gave them Ligma.
Oh, God. It all comes full circle. As they're dying, everyone finds out that Wickwire is a robot, and he's only turned on for occasional things, like cleaning,
He's
dusting.
Literally a Roomba.
Yeah, he's a Roomba.
For dead people.
That makes him kind of cute now.
You didn't think the old man factor made him cute from the beginning?
No, old men are creepy.
And
he still won't make this episode good.
Let's just finish the ball.
And to finish the episode, he puts them back in their spaceship to kind of... Well, they're already dead.
Well, it's eternally them going...
To grant them their last wish. So I move on to general thoughts, your thoughts, but generalized. I have four themes for us to go over. First one is
Descartes
and the Twilight Zone. how this episode perfectly kind of encompasses his idea on reality.
You should probably explain his idea on reality.
Who's familiar with Descartes?
Zero at all.
So, Descartes was a French philosopher during the Enlightenment era of European history, and he really struggled with the idea of what reality is. He was convinced that nothing was real because of three things in particular.
There was only one thing that he could determine that was real.
I'll get to that, though.
Yeah, well, you just lied.
What?
You said he believed that nothing was real.
No, I said he was... Yeah, because of three
things. But there's one thing he did believe was real.
It's like that...
Right. His mind.
Yes, he believed that his actual conscience was real.
What a narcissist.
It's like that meme where it's like... Fear nothing, and then like a thing comes, and he's like, "I fear one thing."
But because when he put a stick in water and it looked bent, and because that he could not discern whether dreams were reality or not, he did not believe that anything around him was real.
Well, yeah, because when you're in a dream, you don't know that it's a dream. It's not until you wake up that you realize it's a dream.
This guy's a philosopher, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And a mathematician.
I hate philosophy.
I hate
philosophy.
So interesting.
He also had the idea that there was an evil genius controlling the world, like tricking us and tricking him.
Like creating, everything was an illusion, like all other people were this evil genius's like facade that he created for Descartes.
So basically he believed in the Matrix?
Yeah.
Yeah, but only one person was in the Matrix, which was himself.
So he thought that because he could even think these things and, like, question whether his universe was real or not, he decided that the only thing that could be real was his conscious.
Didn't he also argue that, like, math was real, though,
yes,
too?
He believed that math was real because 2 plus 2 equals 4.
No matter what.
And it'll never not equal 4.
Minus 1, that's 3 quick maths.
Yes. But that's where we get the very famous phrase, "I think, therefore I am." A lot of this episode has a lot of Descartesian philosophy to it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, what do you guys think about the idea that they had really no idea going on and they didn't know what was real or not? Did you guys dig that? Did you guys think it was stupid?
It's stupid.
I don't think it's stupid.
It is unbelievably stupid.
How do you know your existence is real right now?
I don't. Nobody does.
Yeah, so
it's
not
impossible
stupid.
To know.
It is
right, like, so it's not stupid.
So why even think about it?
Because then you're a shell for the government.
You literally just go in circles.
Right.
That's dumb.
I mean,
that's stupid to me. To me,
I don't think that's dumb.
That's fun.
I think it's a different perspective to look on. Like, that's what I like philosophy so much, because, like, I have a specific view of how, like, I view life, but then you have philosophy that people who spend their entirety of their life just looking at different ways that you can view life and how you can interpret life. And I think it's good to kind of understand different viewpoints.
Your whole life is circles. Before you were born, you were nothing, and after you die, you'll be nothing. You wake
According
up...
According to some people, you can't.
Yeah,
you can't.
Yeah. I mean, religious theology, philosophy, and that kind of disagrees with that, but talking from Descartes, Descartes' view, you know, you wake up every morning, you go and do the same thing every day, then you go to bed. You know, like, everyone's life is cyclical. And even when you convince yourself you're breaking that cycle by doing something new, I mean, you know, new
That's
things
more,
can only...
You're talking more nihilism than you are Descartes. That's more of a nihilistic view.
Right.
Dude, this Descartes stuff, like, almost, like, sounds like Jaden Smith tweets.
Literally, though, it was.
I mean,
of the time period.
How can mirrors be real if our eyes aren't real?
I mean, that is... Descartes.
That's literally Descartes.
I
mean, look, it's not big anymore, but it was a pretty big deal back in the 19th or 18th century when he came out with this stuff. It sold well, I think.
It did pretty well.
But yeah, what is reality? Look, they keep making movies about this crap. You have The Truman Show, you have The Matrix, you have Vanilla Sky. Like, you know, clearly somebody's interested in this.
My favorite meme of all time. We live in a society.
Exactly. Do you? Do you really?
We live in a society.
According to Gamers Rise Up, we do.
Gamers Rise Up!
Gamers Sit Down.
Yes.
Anyway, I just think it's a really interesting interesting point of view that this episode plays with.
Can I say something real quick?
Sure.
So I think, like, with Descartes, with this episode, I think it doesn't really, like, question reality. I just think it portrays what Descartes kind of believed reality was up until the point it's, like, said that it's a cemetery.
Right.
Because they're not 100% sure, like, where they are. There's kind of this question of, like, is it real, is it not real? I mean, the one character says something along the lines of, like, oh, they're gonna poof into, like, aliens or something in a minute, or this is all just a mirage.
And they said it was a trap.
A trap. Thank you.
We had the same conversation about five characters in search of an exit, too. Was that where you were going?
No.
Oh, but please finish.
And then you also have the evil mastermind, which is
the
Roomba Boy.
Roomba Boy, a.k.a. Wickwire. He would be the evil mastermind, because he is setting these characters up. But, yeah, five characters in search of an exit was a lot of the same philosophy. I mean, you had they weren't sure what existed, they weren't sure where they were. It's, all comes together. What's up?
Sure.
Yes. Okay. Second theme, preachiness. Is it ever good, or is it always bad?
When did this get preachy?
When it was like, man
was very
is
preachy.
Man is, oh, if there's man, there will be war. And like, he's like, I can't let you guys live because we won't let it be peaceful.
There won't
here.
Be eternal peace where there is men.
It's just a guy rambling.
Yeah, I wasn't.
And that's how what?
I didn't take that at all seriously, just because it was the
exactly.
best part of the episode.
Yeah.
For me and Corey, and I can't speak for Jamie, but
yeah, I think like that theme.
Speak for me.
Yes.
That theme like just isn't present in like. No, I don't think that theme is present because I mean it's just the three guys like wandering around, and they're sort of questioning like reality, but I don't think they're questioning kind of like their existence and their place where they are. So it's like it's kind of just sprung on them, you know. It's like they're not questioning like what caused a nuclear war back on Earth or anything like that, and they're not like questioning how they could have prevented it, or like if all men are part of the problem exactly. So I feel like that part was just kind of sprung in, and it was just kind of there to like fill a plot hole.
I feel it was like there to fill like a message, because I know Rod like to give messages.
Yeah, that's what preaching means. Like, it's trying to push a message, but it comes off as preachy, meaning like that the message is kind of being shoved in your face.
That's okay, yeah, then that's exactly what they did, because they just shoehorned it in the last 2 minutes. It's like they're dying, and it's like, well.
Have we liked a preachy episode so far?
No.
Because the only other preachy episode I could think of is I Am the Night, Color Me Black, which we
I liked it,
despise.
I'm having flashbacks. I think somebody gave that a 2.
Oh, no, that one was bad.
Yeah. I gave that one, like, a 2. Or maybe a 3. Might have been Corey who gave it, like, a 2. But, like,
Corey's stingy.
I mean, I think one of the highest episodes we've watched, at least in my mind, it's the trumpet one.
Passenger Trumpet.
And that episode, I think, is also a little preachy towards the end.
But that felt, I think that felt more natural because it was like.
That's what, yeah, go ahead, Connor.
Because that's, it wasn't just shoehorned in at the end. It was like, I was, in Passenger Trumpet, I think that the message at the end was the conclusion of the character arc. Because it was like, I'm bad at this. I'm never gonna be the musician I wanna be. I'm not a use to society, and he throws himself in front of the truck, and then it's like actually it felt very It's a Wonderful Life almost.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Passage for Trumpet was able to send a good message like that. And same with Monsters You Do at Maple Street. They were able to fit that message in without it sounding like it's preachy. And that's the difference between those episodes and this episode.
Well, I think that something can come off as preachy, kind of like branching off of what Connor said. I think what makes it preachy and what not makes it preachy is how they go about kind of delivering, not delivering the message, but like proving a message. So, like, in Passage for Trumpet, the character's actions kind of relate, obviously, to the message. And same for, especially the Monsters Do on Maple Street, they're doing exactly what the message says they would do. Where with this episode, the three guys don't do anything bad. They don't destroy anything. There's nothing that they do in the scene that they destroy anything. Like,
yeah, they're undeserving of their fate.
Like, it just seemed kind of, like, forced upon them for no reason. Like, it was like, we're here because we just need somewhere to sleep and, like, survive. And he's like, you're only going to cause destruction. And it's like, but I think...
They very clearly actually avoided tampering with anything where they've had many opportunities to.
Where I feel, and there was even that scene where the guy was playing poker and you see that he has like the perfect hand, and I thought he was gonna mess with the stuff and he just didn't. I feel like if you would have had them like destroying stuff, like messing with people,
yeah.
And like, I mean, the worst thing that they did was the one guy, like, yeah, I think he shook somebody or something.
Yeah.
But that was like the second person they encountered.
Yeah. There was nothing.
And it wasn't aggressive.
It was like, hey, are you alive?
Yeah, it was
yeah.
more like, hey, I'm so glad we found you. Can you help us?
So I just think it makes the message seem untrue, and I think that's why it comes off as like really preachy and just not good.
Yeah. So that, anybody have anything else to add? That actually takes us out of the general themes. I had two others, but they felt a little shoehorned, and we discussed one of them kind of before.
What were they? Just to be curious.
Special effects in the Twilight Zone, which we've definitely talked about, and we could talk about in like how we felt about the episode. And the other one was just like space in 1960s television, but that's not interesting. Nor is it.
It's barely relevant, honestly.
Relevant, yeah. So. We're going to take a break between our general thoughts, so we'll go over to friend of the show.
It's time.
Wrestling God. You're not ready? You didn't think of one? On your feet, boy. Corey Arnold.
Who?
What do you got?
Wait, we
got to
do the thing.
Wait, yeah. We'll keep...
I'm sorry. Oh, no.
General Hugerection. Tell us, what is your WWE connection of the week?
Okay, this is weak, because I just thought of it. So, do you remember Connor Buckley's favorite storyline on Randy Orton joining the Wyatt family?
Yes.
Hey, I like that. I would assume that Bray Wyatt did some kind of poison his mind, you know, something like that, to get him to join the Wyatts. Maybe?
That's weak.
That's
weak
really
sauce.
Weak.
But
it's really
got,
weak.
What do you got? Well, there's no storyline where, like, people didn't move or something, or, like...
But
were you talking about The Undertaker?
They didn't play, like, mind games where they didn't move or anything.
Was there never, like, a robot character?
There's plenty.
There's
RoboCop,
The Undertaker, though. His
RoboCop.
Whole job is to take care of a cemetery.
Sure, The Undertaker.
But he is literally an Undertaker.
I have actual good WWE moment of the week.
Really?
Back in 2000, The Big Show was feuding with a man by the name of The Big Boss Man. In storyline, Big Show's father passed away and was at the funeral being a caretaker.
Did. He actually did pass away.
No, they used it?
Yup.
So
this is WWE.
And this is why we could think cancer is a work.
Everything I see about the WWE, like I was at the Cali today.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that guy had like leukemia or if it was just for the show and he was like doing
what a
like
mark.
Cancer.
And that's
what a mark.
And it's because of storylines like that.
Anyway, so Big Show's dad was getting buried, and you know, Big Show was being a caretaker for his father. He was being a good Samaritan of the cemetery. When the Big Boss Man rolled up and stole Big Show's dad's coffin and the body inside,
like,
drove it away while Big Show tried to grab the coffin back.
Was that actually his dad?
Yeah. Well, no.
I don't know. They used my father's corpse. Vince McMahon, dude.
I don't think he used a real corpse.
I'm pretty sure it was just a box.
But if you guys have anything better, please let me know. I think that might be the closest we get. Jamie,
yeah.
Back to you, because you won our oof moment of the week last
oof.
Week.
Oof!
Oof, wait.
Oof!
So what is the oof moment of the week?
Is when our boys are doing some investigating, and they find an old man by the river having, I think it's like a picnic or something, or
he's
maybe
fishing.
Yeah, well, he's gonna have a picnic.
After he catches that fish.
Not for long, because they wave their hand in his face, and they get a little too close, and they boop his nose.
Oof.
And then he just falls down.
Oof.
And that was the...
Oof!
Moment of the week!
Actually, that's incorrect. The Oof Moment of the Week is the whole episode.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Well, it's a good segue. We could go back to the thoughts part of general thoughts. Your thoughts to generalize. What do we feel about this episode?
It was bad.
What was bad?
It,
you keep saying it's like the worst thing you've ever seen.
You said it was going to be... Okay, so this episode is billed as kind of creepy and stuff.
I still think it was.
When I watched it with Corey and Jamie, we watched it together.
Mm-hmm.
It very much... felt like a comedy episode. There were just so many unintentionally funny moments in it.
Maybe it was creepy for the 60s. Like, I feel like it's aged pretty badly.
It's aged awfully.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know how well you could have seen people moving in the 60s during this, but if you could see them moving as much as you can in the remaster, it's very... It takes you out of the immersion very, very quickly. Because they have so many close-ups on people, and they're supposed to be frozen, but you can see them just naturally moving like humans who aren't frozen do. And it just takes away from the immersion. It was supposed to be creepy, and it came off as cringy when we watched it.
I think cringy is a very strong word for something that was made in 1959. I think for the time... I mean, I've read reviews where people talk about watching it as a kid and being genuinely scared, but I think for the time it was a pretty good episode, especially for season one when they're doing their early attempts.
But this isn't 1959.
Well, yes,
yeah.
It's not.
I mean, I felt
and
like,
I mean, you can say that about any episode, but it was
yeah.
particularly bad with this one. I found.
I think I still don't think cringy is the right word. Like watching like a Burger King training tape from 1993 is cringy, because it's, you know, I think cringy, a part of it is like desperately trying to grab a foothold in pop culture.
Yeah.
I think maybe this hasn't aged well, might be a better phrase, or, you know, just
yeah.
flat out bad if you really feel that strongly.
Yeah, I wouldn't go so far as cringy. I think it was just not good.
Because there are definitely cringy episodes of The Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think those are the episodes where they try to, like, cash in on something at the time.
Yeah, kind of like the episode where we had that nerdy guy trying to get with the girl. Like, that was cringy.
Yeah, know? Like, the sexism in these has been cringy.
Because
mm-hmm. they've been products of the time.
Yeah.
I stand by every word that I said except cringy, then.
Okay. You can still stand by cringy. I just...
No,
do not
right.
stand by cringy.
I
sit next to cringy.
I think you're right. I think you're right. But that doesn't take away from the fact that this is pretty bad for me.
That's fair. That's
completely
fair.
I also had higher hopes for it, actually. I remember it very fondly when I was younger and from rewatching it like 2 summers ago. But I was not enthralled with the episode. I felt that it was far too preachy in the plot. And, but I do disagree about the special effects. I thought it was pretty cool that they even hired that many people to stand completely still.
No, yeah, I definitely think that was ambitious, and I think you did get some, like, cool shots from it, but, like, it just... they focused too long on them,
right.
and it, like, it messed with the immersion, and then you just kind of, like, I don't know, kind of get used to, like, seeing them, and it kind of loses that, like, creepy effect.
You know, right now I'm imagining if, like, this happened to me,
mm-hmm.
and it would kind of be creepy.
Yeah, it'd be super creepy.
Yeah, and, but, like she said, the biggest problem is close-ups. Like, if they didn't do the close-ups, it would have been fine. But the close-ups just killed it.
Because you could see, yeah.
Yeah, the close-ups were a bad idea.
This kind of makes me think of, actually, no, I'm going to say that.
Yeah, save that for what ripped this off.
Yeah.
But,
I have a good one.
Yeah, I think one of the strongest points of this episode is actually the set design.
Disagree.
Really? I thought the set design was
phenomenal. I think
the
soundtrack blew it out of the water. The music was so good, and I think that it was genuinely scary. Like, they played it at really good times, especially when the caretaker was speaking and, like, he said certain phrases. I think they did a really good job.
It's a very modern style of horror, the way they use the soundtrack,
mm-hmm.
where they hype it up and then they cut it to leave you with silence to, like, fill the space. That's something that most horror movies do these days. It's, like, kind of a taboo, really, to mess around with that and not do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I definitely thought it had its problems, but from a technical aspect, I didn't mind it. And what about the acting? That's kind of the last thing.
Alright.
Because I thought the acting was nothing special, but it wasn't also
either.
Not anything, like, hysterically bad.
I think, like, especially with, like, the monologue from the caretaker, I almost called him the Undertaker.
The Undertaker.
It's just, nothing he said, like, sold me on, like, his cause.
Fair. Yeah, it did feel out of place. I think they could have went for, like, a creepy old guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they just did not finish. They went for a home run, and they, like, flew out at the warning track. Sports ball.
I think there's one part in the episode where one character, when he has, like, his little freak out, and he's like, "You poisoned us!" While I found that part very relatable, and I loved it, I thought it was so weird. It just seemed really out of place.
Yeah.
It was weird that they had, I don't think it's really the actor's fault, but I think it's more of the director's fault having him do that, because it just seemed really weird and out of character. Because they weren't really freaking out until that point, and it just kind of seemed like a random, like, it felt like the director was like, "No, you need to say the line louder."
One of the issues I have with season one of The Twilight Zone is they often try to recreate the success they had with the pilot, "Where Is Everybody?" Which, have you guys seen that before?
Yeah.
Really good, I love that.
It's incredible. It's, like, really, it's genuinely really scary.
It's literally
got an awesome ending.
It's probably, like, top three all time.
Mm-hmm.
But they really try to recreate that a few different times. Some of the episodes work, in my opinion. Some of them do not work so well. I'm interested to see how I feel about the ones I think worked, because I did not like this as much as I thought I would. I thought I'd be ranking this, like, around an 8, but we can get to that later. But, yeah, that's one of the issues I have with the show as a whole, is that they have a few amazing episodes that hone in on idea, and then when they kind of... Yeah, I've seen that before. When they, I'm just talking about a video match. So when they strike gold, they try and go deeper into... I'm gonna go like a deep think with this analogy. When they strike gold, they go deeper into the mine, only to have it cave in on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Okay.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Intent.
Yes, intent. Anyway, I think we can safely move on to...
Wait. I want to talk about, there was a one line that got me. Shoot. When they talk about that nuclear war broke out in 1985,
mm-hmm.
and that's crazy to think about, that's how they thought about the future. So
oh,
I just
yeah.
wanted to talk about how they viewed the future in, like, the early 60s and stuff, and, like, how that relates to this episode, because they were, like, very, obviously, they wouldn't have just thrown that in there. Like, this was, like, Cold War. They legitimately thought that there would be nuclear war within the next 25 years.
What was going down in 85? Did the Berlin Wall, that was in the process of falling, right?
That was a year before that Ronald Reagan did his speech, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." That was 85.
So the USSR was on its way out.
Yeah, things were relatively chill in 85.
I could ask my dad. He was 10 at that point.
When was Bay of Pigs? Bay of Pigs was...
That was 60.
Well, yeah, I know that.
Like 61.
Yeah,
that was JFK.
So this is right before Bay of Pigs, this episode coming
out. Yeah,
Eisenhower
was still president when this episode
is. So you can kind of see, like...
Yeah, things were tense.
Yeah, I always considered Bay of Pigs, like, the worst the Cold War got.
Cuban Missile Crisis.
But that was a direct response to Bay of Pigs, right?
Well, yeah, but, like, that was
the Well, yeah, thing. But... I
yeah, because that was the closest thing to nuclear war that I think we'd ever get to.
The domino effect, rather.
Bay of Pigs, like, started that.
Right, yeah. So I just felt that those chain of events was, like, the worst part. So it's interesting to see...
But this was even... This was, like... Before we hated Fidel Castro. Like, we thought he was going to be the good guy for a second. Didn't we?
No.
We always... I mean, he was never a good guy. Yeah. I mean, but, like, we didn't... He wasn't the...
We just didn't really care because he wasn't, like, a threat to us.
Yeah.
So,
the U.S. government used him to kill someone who was a threat. Mm-hmm. And then he became a threat, and then we tried to use somebody else to kill him.
And it didn't work.
The U.S. government has a lovely history where they just kill people and put other people... That's how Vietnam started. They set up a government over there.
No, that was France.
France did that?
Yeah.
France. France had it as a territory, but when they revolted, I thought the U.S.
The Vietnam War started with France, and then we went to help them
because communism is bad.
Yeah.
But it's just really...
Watching the documentary, though, there was like a different...
You have to remember that documentary is going to
be...
We
might have done that in the South.
Ken Burns' document...
Documentary?
Documentary.
All documentaries are biased.
We were just talking about Ho Chi Minh, and the U.S. government was not fond of Ho Chi Minh and wanted him out of power.
Well, there's...
Right, but then the U.S. government had ideas of a few different people that could step into the southern Vietnam government and, like, promote those people.
They had plans, but something else occurred before that, which was France, and they kind of just seized the opportunity there.
France was already there, though.
Yeah.
They've been there, like, for a long time.
Right, but then they got kicked out.
Well, they just kind of gave up, and we didn't. We just kind of stayed.
Well, the Imperial Empire, friend. I'm going to let the history majors, because they know better than me. But I need to clearly do some research after this is over. Cause
I just want to... I was just...
I think you mean in South Vietnam.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I mean, we... Did we... I don't... Did we help them set up their democratic... Democratic thing.
Democracy?
Yeah. I mean, it really wasn't, but I'm sure.
Because I remember...
I'm sure we had a hand in it.
We did, because when North Korea, like, when they started feuding, we helped because we helped set up that government.
Feuding. One of the issues, though, that I remember from watching Ken Burns' documentary is that the general public of South Vietnam hated the proxy leader we put in.
Yeah, of course.
Which is why the Viet Cong had more ease kind of moving into South Korea and not such a...
Yeah, South Korea?
Well, South Vietnam.
Well, yeah, because the locals hated that the U.S. was there.
Yeah, we didn't touch North Vietnam until the war proper started. But we had a hand setting up South Vietnam's kind of... That's why we had people over there in the first place, to kind of monitor things.
The U.S. installing governments since...
Seriously,
well,
though,
the 1800s.
Watch Ken Burns' documentary on Vietnam. I'm 99% sure Tom Hanks narrates. It's awesome. They have real veterans on there. It's crazy.
I just think it's cool that, like, that's how they, knowing in hindsight, that's how they viewed the future back in, like, 59, and then versus how it actually happened. Then it just makes me wonder how we view the future today, how different it's going to be when that happens in, like, 2047 or whatever. Like,
Vladimir Putin controls all. He's like a cyborg arm.
By that point.
Oh, yeah, we'll still be alive.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Oh, speak for yourself. Everybody, 27 Club is where I aim to be.
No. That's not allowed.
Okay. Let's move on to... Bios. This was written by Charles Beaumont. I talked about him in our episode zero, which was on for a short period of time. But we have talked about him before, and the fan is on. This is the fourth of 22 Twilight Zones he will be writing. Can you guess what the other three were?
No.
That we've seen.
Yeah, that we've seen together.
Which ones were bad?
We liked one of them and felt about the other two.
Horse Ford?
Nope. New Exhibit was one. That's one we all really liked.
Interesting.
Another one with people who can't stay still.
Dang.
Perchance to Dream.
Oh, that was good.
Felt
I liked that one.
I enjoyed it. We felt bad.
I don't even remember that episode.
That was almost the
cheetah lady.
The psychiatrist.
I don't remember, like...
He's like, I can't dream again or all.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then Long Distance Call, which we also thought was...
That was just... that. Not memorable, but it was an episode.
Yes.
This is based off a short story he wrote years prior, which was published in...
Oh, the short story's probably really good.
Yeah,
yeah,
it probably works better as a short story.
Yeah, no doubt.
This is directed by Douglas Hayes. This is the first of 9 Twilight Zones he will be doing. And he is mostly a writer. So how are we feeling about Sir Douglas so far?
He doesn't know how to instruct his actors how to act.
So Charles Beaumont is in the middle, shaky in the middle, and Douglas Hayes is a...
We need to see more.
Poser.
We need to see more. Actually, not a good poser, because that's what all they were doing the whole episode.
I was saying poser. Like, hey, hoser, hey,
you. You mean hoser like the singer?
That's like the
no,
third time.
No, it's hosier.
I'm literally losing my hearing.
For the longest time, I thought it was hosier.
He's not
Irish.
It's like,
he's
like
Irish.
Bone Iver.
Bone
Iver, everybody. Just letting it out.
Better out than in, I always say.
Cecil Calloway played Jeremy Whitwire. He is dead. He's South African, actually. So most of his work was in directing and starring in South African films. So nothing of note that I picked up from his like most famous list. Oh, one thing I thought was interesting, though, when I was just quickly scrolling through, was he was in, his last acting credit was Disney's Wonderful World of Color. Cool TV show. In the 70s.
I don't even know what that is.
70s TV show.
I have no clue what that is.
70s TV show?
Yeah, I just told you, actually. Jeff Morrow.
Jeff!
played Myers. He's dead.
Which one was Myers?
I don't remember. he did a lot of B films. He did a
film
called...
Wait, he said he's dead?
Yeah.
Jeff.
So he did B movies?
So
he
did he like jazz?
B movies?
No, stop. He did a movie called This Island's Earth, and he also did a movie called The Creature That Walks Amongst Us.
And also the B movie?
It's not. This is his only Twilight Zone episode. Oh, I forgot to mention the other guy is his only Twilight Zone episode too. Oh no, this is one of 2 Twilight Zone episodes. I lie. Dan dubbing as Kirby. He's also dead. He did a lot of war films and B movies, and this is his only Twilight Zone episode.
He also was in the B movie.
Wow.
What war films were you seeing? Anything notable?
Nothing notable. Just like dumb, low budget war movies.
Like that one president. Who was the president that was in all the
With his monkey Bobo. I'm talking about an actual animal.
I know,
yeah.
I'm saying oof because it was probably not good, right?
Yeah, that's the animal.
No, well, actually, he was very famous as a movie star.
That doesn't mean he was good.
The public liked it.
Wait, who, Reagan or the monkey?
What's the difference? I'm going to have to keep that in.
Please do. That was the best joke you've ever made.
That
wasn't
that was expensive.
Kevin.
Wow. He's just an animal.
Kevin Hogan. Hogan plays
brother.
Weber.
Brother.
Not a
very
whole lot.
Soft me, brother.
Actually, I lied. I think he was in 127 movies, but none of them are particularly noteworthy.
That's
also,
so are they
four.
Also B movies?
I guess you could call it that. This
they're
is
all
one,
in
of
the
two,
B movie.
One of two Twilight Zones.
You like jazz.
Moving on to trivia.
You have to put in the lick now.
Moving on to trivia from the International Movie Database. This was originally... the beauty pageant was actually supposed to be a motionless car race. That's how
cool.
It appears in the short story, but I don't know how well that would have translated to
all they'd have to
a
do
motionless
was,
car race.
All they have to do is sit in parked cars.
Yeah, it'd be like they wanted to be in a car race before they died.
But then
so
they couldn't
like
have a, the. But then they couldn't have the ugly girl.
Exactly. And then the props and music are all reused. Props in a few different Twilight Zone episodes and in an episode of Star Trek and Lost in Space, I think. And the music in a few different Twilight Zone
episodes. How old is Star Trek?
Very old.
1966?
Oh.
Star Trek 66.
Yeah.
Had the first.
Have you ever seen
cast?
The original show for it? The The graphics are so bad.
That's awful. I've seen one.
There's like little furry things.
They put a unicorn horn on a dog and called it an alien creature.
Yes.
Yep, I've seen the gif of like Kirk fighting some like green lizard man or something. And it's just not good.
Well, William Shatner's also not a good
actor. William Shatner's also not a good actor.
I don't have time to get deep into Martin Graham Jr.'s text or book, so none of that tonight. But I do have our news segment all prepped up.
Boy.
The comment segment, which I have lovingly and I think humorously titled Internet Comics, America's Tomorrow, Today. I feel like that's such an Anchorman title. I really like it. So this one's from a... I couldn't find anything on YouTube, so these are going to be from different blogs.
Oh, no.
Oh, so people have opinions.
Here's the comment. Well, the caretaker of all the frozen bodies on the asteroid does have one point. As long as there are humans, there will be no peace. It's true. I never understood people that say back in the old days it was safe and everyone let their doors unlocked. It's a load of crap. Back in the 1950s, there was even more racial tension in America than today. Back in the 1930s, during the Depression, crime and murders were about twice as high in America than today. You had all the speakeasies owned by the mafia, the bootlegging, and gangsters like Al Capone. So there's a little history lesson for everybody.
Thanks, Connor.
Thank you. What's this guy's name?
I didn't write it down. But this one comes from Natural Blues on a blog by one Zach Handelin, or a response to one Zach Handelin. The original comment he's responding to is, Elegy suffers from minor flaws throughout, problems which must like those occasional blanks aren't episode killing but do prevent this from being the classic it might have been. And the response was, you should really get a hold of the unrated, uncut DVDs. They have a blooper where one of the female extras accidentally... Hold on. I need a second to prepare. Accidentally lets off a 3-octave...
What?
Accidentally lets off a 3-octave tuner.
Whoa! Guy, oh my god. I just had an epiphany. I play the 3-octave tuner.
Okay. Connor plays the trumpet, everybody.
Let me take this over again. You should get a hold of the unrated, uncut DVDs. They have a blooper where one of the female extras accidentally lets off a 3-octave tuner during one of the crowd scenes. Let's just say that no one was standing still for very long.
Dude, please don't cut that first part.
I won't. And that ends Internet's Comments, America Tomorrow, Today.
Three-octave tutors.
Is the name growing on you?
Yeah.
I really think it's funny.
It's good.
It sounds like something from Parks and Rec.
It does it now.
Yes.
Alright, moving on to what ripped us off. I have one off the bat.
I have one.
Two.
House of Wax, the 2005 Bad War
movie.
And The Wicker Man, maybe, and House of a Thousand Corpses.
That one scene in Black Mirror Hang the DJ, which I wish still existed as an episode of The Rod Squad. The one scene when they just all freeze at the end. And like I'm like, wow, that's a scene that did good people freezing.
That was a sentence.
Yes. Yes, that was also filmed in 2017 where they had like special effects. And
you
not
know,
1959 where computers weren't the thing yet.
You know, I stand by my words. And that, I started that sentence and I didn't know where it was going to end. But it ended.
Yes, Jay.
I thought of something that ripped it off. Life is Strange.
Yeah, I agree. The greatest game of all time that Ashley refuses to play.
It's just why? I'm playing it. It's just really slow and boring.
Well, no,
if I wanted to be an edgy teenager, I would just be myself.
You gotta get past the first episode, because the first episode is only, like, tutorial stuff,
it's
basically.
It's so boring, but yes.
Dang, dude.
No, it picks up.
Maybe you should
and
try
the specific, scene I'm talking about, like, is mind-boggling and blowing and Yeah.
Which is spoiler heavy, right? What episode is it in?
Well,
episode two.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I agree. It's insane.
I'm at the part where she was sitting with the blue-haired chick at the lighthouse.
You're almost done.
Episode one. Yeah.
Okay.
Episode five as a whole was amazing as well. And definitely, I can see this fitting into it.
Oh, yeah, there's this one part in episode 5 where, yeah, you're basically, I don't know how spoilery I'm going to get.
Probably.
Yeah, okay, you're basically in a diner with all of the townspeople, and they're begging you to save them, basically.
Yeah.
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 I have two.
Yeah, go for it.
So the first one is also, well, they're both video games, but the first one is one of the Lego Indiana Jones video games. I don't remember which one. I think it's the second one. Yeah, it's the second one.
Indiana Jones.
No, the video game, not the movie, because the movie doesn't do this. The video game does. So, when you go to, like, Nuketown in the video game, there's, like, mannequins of the people, but in the video game, their heads follow you. I don't know why.
That's kind
of
creepy.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was. I used to be terrified of it, but it used to be my favorite stage. But it just reminds me of, like, because it's kind of, Nuketown was kind of like an artificial graveyard in a way, because we were testing nukes on a fake town.
Yeah.
And I would rather quote the video game than that horrible excuse for a movie.
talking about like real life places, you could argue maybe like the suicide forest in Japan. It's been turned into
a graveyard. It's not like, it's a little different.
How is that different from
Well, the suicide forest is not seen as an honorable thing, or like you go there to not be found.
Neither is nuclear explosion.
But those weren't real people. And then my other one is BioShock, the first one.
That is also not honorable.
This is a different example. So there's a thing, I don't want to spoil it for Corley, even though he's probably never going to play it again. Because he's a loser.
I'm going to play it right after this. Take that.
But Ashley's going home.
Never mind.
But there's a scene, it's one of my favorite sections of the game, where you go to, what's that place called? Fort Frolic. And he has statues of people everywhere, and they're in the middle of, like, doing things.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. And you can hit them and they bleed. So.
Well, they're real people.
Right.
And there's certain scenes where they might not be statues.
Connor, anything?
It's not really a connection. It's like the smallest, dumbest connection.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so ready.
Fortnite.
Explain it.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of the episode,
they're like,
so it's like, where are we dropping, boys, on this random asteroid? So,
Connor wins.
This episode is Fortnite.
So much.
Can you splice the Fortnite dance?
Yeah, let me splice in the audio of the Fortnite dance.
Yeah.
I actually have one I could probably put in.
Yeah.
It's this, like, 40-year-old man on the app TikTok, and he's like, all right, parents, let me teach you the new Fortnite dance. And he does the Block Boy JB one, and he's like, don't let your kids intimidate you. yeah, so.
Is nobody going to do Fallout?
Are you
going to
Fallout?
I mean, it was just the nuclear war thing, and it was like, wasn't it 200
years
200 later years as well?
After the nuclear war?
Yeah. No,
so,
no, more than 200.
They said it was 200.
This wasn't
200
years.
Oh,
yeah,
years that was exactly what Fallout was.
I have a new one. Mm-hmm. So, I love post-apocalyptic things.
Well.
Like books, novels.
You gotta tread carefully, because I don't, post-apocalypse here was like kind of a back burner thing.
Hold on. And there's a short story. It's one of my favorite short stories. It's called There Comes the Soft Rain. You need to read
it.
Yeah,
I've heard of this.
It's one of the best short stories I've ever read in my life.
Can I find it for free?
I can email you tonight.
Cool.
It essentially is like the nuclear war happened and like the Earth is kind of gone. But this house that's all automated by a robot continues to do like life. Like, the process, but the people aren't there anymore. So, like, it makes breakfast and, like...
I kind of say that this is Wall-E, in a sense.
Kind of.
Also, for Fallout, Codsworth was still,
yeah,
like,
true.
Cleaning the floors and stuff.
Yeah.
Fallout 4, specifically?
Yeah.
Alright. I just had to put in that classic novel. And the novel's, I think, from the 60s. They're Comma Soft Barons.
It's a Ray Bradbury, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ethan Bradbury?
Oh,
God,
that's an episode of the Twilight Zone, Ash.
What?
That Ray Bradbury?
They're Comma Soft Barons?
They turned it into a Twilight Zone.
It's also in Fallout. There's an Easter egg. You can find the house.
Nice.
And when you go, it starts, your radio picks up part of the poem that's in the book.
That's creepy.
Yeah, I'm going to send it to you now, Corey.
All right, let's move on to ratings. This has a 7.7 on IMDb.
Way too
high. It is the 75th rated episode, so that actually puts it pretty much right in the middle. 75 times 2 is like, what,
150.
So yeah, pretty much exactly in the middle. Almost. I think
78.
Yeah, 78 is going to be right in the middle, but, so one away. Oh, no, three away. Cause it, no, what did I read? 75th. Three away. Pretty darn close.
Math is hard sometimes.
I will go first. I am giving this episode a 6 out of 10. Wasn't bad, just preachy, and I was let down when I watched it. It's just such a run-of-the-mill episode in my eyes. Other than my nostalgia, I would probably forget this. Ashley.
Oh. I'm gonna give it a 7, just because even though the yelling part was kind of weird, I really found it charming, weirdly enough. Like, I really liked it. I like the idea a lot. It reminds me of something that I would write, like, when I used to write stories. And I love how the 50s viewed the post, or the 60s viewed the post of, like, apocalyptic world. I think it's one of the most, a lot of my favorite short stories are about that.
Tabitha texted the group chat and said she wanted to give it a 7 out of 10. She liked it. She had a good time with it. Jamie.
I'm wavering between a 5 and a 6, so I guess I'm going to give it a 5.5. I just think that they didn't bring the main theme of kind of like mankind's relation to the post-apocalyptic world. Like, they didn't mention it at all until the end. It just kind of felt tacked on, and I didn't think the acting was that great either.
Corey?
I'm going to give it a 5. The ending felt rushed, and it's just another Twilight episode with a decent concept that just was really clunky, and they just didn't make work.
Yeah, finally, Connor.
I'm going to give this episode a 3. It couldn't keep me immersed. I couldn't take it seriously, and I just felt the ending was just, of those episodes we've done for the Rod Squad, this is probably my least favorite.
The average is a 5.6 out of 10, so probably
not
the lower side.
Where does that, do you know where that lays next to?
I'll have to...
It's not the least, but
it's definitely not the least.
It's down there.
Once I add them both in, I'll show you guys. Next time we meet, we're moving over to season 4. Kidding, season 5. Just wanted to mess with you a little.
Worked.
And we're watching an episode called Steel.
Nice.
So yeah, I will read you guys the thing. Jamie goes last as she is the champion. So, sports item. Circa 1974. Way to steal my spot.
Way to ruin the podcast. It's over, packing
in
books.
Well, Ash, do you need, like,
ice? Can you help, though? Are you
alright?
Okay. Are you bleeding? Are you about to, like, go into Memento?
I hope so.
Sports items, circa 1974. Are you sure you're okay? Battling Maxo, B2 heavyweight, accompanied by his manager and handler, arrives in Maynard, Kansas, for a scheduled 6-round bout. Battling Maxo is a robot, or to be exact, an android. Definition, an automaton resembling a human being. Only these automatons have been permitted in the ring since prize fighting was legally abolished in 1968. This is the story of that scheduled 6-round bout. More specifically, the story of two men... The story of two men shortly to face that remorseless truth, that no law can be passed which will abolish cruelty or desperate need, nor for that matter, blind animal courage. Location for facing of said truth, a small smoke-filled arena just this side of the Twilight Zone.
Dude, it's that Hugh Jackman movie.
Literally.
BattleBots or whatever?
No, I forget the name.
My little cousin loves it.
That was a good movie. No, but, like, I have a thing. It's like, the androids can feel pain and emotion, and they're like, I don't want to do this anymore. But they're like, you're just an android. You have to do it. So it's basically the story of that.
So, whoa, that was your, what did you say?
It's like, so they go to this fight, and then the one android's like, they can actually, like, feel emotion and pain and all that, Johnskies, like a real human would, but everyone's, and they, the dude's like, I don't want to fight anymore, this, I don't want to do this, but the humans are like, you have to do this, you're a robot, you don't have free will or whatever, but then it's the story of that, basically.
Ash?
Can you come back to me?
Corey?
We're going to go back to 2005.
Okay.
So, I pick out bits and pieces of these to make my thing. So, I heard Sportsman and Fighting. So,
there was a robot?
There is a sportsman known as Chavo Guerrero. He was then transformed into a double sportsman called Kerwin White, who was a golf player turned wrestler. But then he felt pain when his uncle died, Eddie Guerrero, and then became Chavo Guerrero. So we're gonna watch.
What do you think is gonna happen? What do you think is gonna happen pertaining to this episode?
They're gonna become not slaves.
The robots are going to become
because like Kerwin White felt like his slave name, you know, like he was Chavo Guerrero, and then they made him Kerwin White. It felt like his slave name.
That was not a bad remark by me, by the way. I realize now how bad that sounded. Kerwin White, I said, so they become white people. That sounds really bad. But Chavo Guerrero's character was like he was doing white face.
Yeah, like,
that's even a thing.
Yeah, like he
it is a thing. But
he dyed his hair blonde. He wore like
he was pretending to be white. I wasn't making like a really awful racist comment.
No, you're good.
I know. I want to preface that because
we are referencing something not okay.
Yes, we
that
are.
They did. We
yes,
didn't do it.
They pretended. They stripped a very, very culturally culturally proud Latino man and
yeah.
made him white for entertainment purposes.
Yeah,
which is clearly not okay.
So, oh, and like. His master was Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, no.
That's what we're going to say it was? He was like a robot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you...
Do you want to cut that?
What do you mean by master?
He was the guy, like, keeping him in line.
Like, the robots obviously aren't sentient as well.
Oh, the robot... Okay.
I wasn't trying to be racy about
that.
That
Chavo had a master.
No!
The master of the robot, in this setting, Chavo...
Yeah.
...is Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't trying to be spicy.
So you're saying one of the robots is becoming... human?
We're watching Raw in Fall 2005.
Okay, so one of the robots is going to turn into a golfer. Ash.
Okay. Well, I think this episode's going to be kind of like Detroit Becomes Human, where it's androids, obviously, like you said, are being made for kind of human benefit, like the recreation of fighting, and that they can be kind of really brutal in it. And I think that we're going to be following one android in the ring, and he's going to be realizing, A, that he's not interested in doing this, and, like, he's not a machine anymore. Like, he's having this epiphany where he has more, like, human emotions and, like Connor said, feeling pain, but, like, building upon that and kind of the twist being that, like, either A, he is human, or B, that... Rod is going to call into question what exactly being human and having humanity is.
Going back to Connor, really quick. Fun fact, the movie Real Steel,
Real Steel,
you are referencing is actually also based off the same short story that this episode is based
off. No way!
Yeah, it's based off the same Richard Matheson short story that this one is based off of.
Can I simplify my prediction?
Yes.
Because it kind of went on, though. So it's Chavo Guerrero, like these robots, I assume, will be breaking free of their, you know, metaphorical chains or whatever, and then becoming their true selves. Like Chavo became Chavo again.
Jamie?
I don't know. If I know anything about the Twilight Zone and androids or computerized things with names, something's gonna fall in love with something.
Oh. Connor, what did you say again? You said
I said like these androids are like. They can like feel pain and have emotion and all that stuff, but like the boxing guys, the guys who were like who were in charge of this are like, it doesn't matter, you don't have free will, you're gonna fight anyway, and that's basically the story of what happens, and then I don't know what happens at the end.
It's like a 3-way tie between you guys because you all said the same thing, like they gain sentience and they're like, eh. Let's see if I can.
I said it first.
But I was more specific.
I don't know if I can give you specific. I'm thinking.
I can give you this.
Hey.
Are you bribing him with a pop?
How about? I think we're gonna do this for the first time. I'm gonna read the closing narration.
Ooh, all right.
Jamie's out of the running. I'm sorry, Jamie. Right. I'm gonna read the closing narration because it's such a close tie. And then the first person to get closest to it... Well, we'll let you go around one last time.
Yeah.
Portrait of a losing side. Proof positive that you can't outpunch machinery. Proof also of something else. That no matter what the future brings, man's capacity to rise to the occasion will remain unaltered. His potential for tenacity and optimism continues as always to outfight... outpoint and outlive any and all changes made by his society, for which 3 cheers and a unanimous decision rendered from the Twilight Zone.
I can't. I'm out of this. I know this ending because I've seen Real Steel. I think.
You could go for it.
So it's going to be the ending of Real Steel where it's like the underdog puts up a really good fight or whatever, but like
I'll go.
Yeah, go for it.
I think that kind of in tie with him becoming more human, he's gonna I'm assuming it's a guy boxer. Mm-hmm. He's still gonna end up fighting, and while yes, he won in the ring, he did not win outside of it. Like he you kind of have this, like, inability to be considered human because he did his job in the end.
Corey?
Chavo Guerrero.
All of you guys were wrong, but Connor was the closest to being... Connor was the least
the
wrong.
Least wrong.
But that's the first time you've ever had to go to a closing narration.
Yeah,
it's a big deal.
Tiebreaker.
This episode seems really interesting, though.
I like it a lot. But the last time I said I like an episode a lot, everyone else hated it, so I'm withholding my judgment.
That was today.
And we always end with a question of the week. What position would you want to be placed in after you die?
Excuse me?
That's what you told me the question.
No, I said what time period? Because that was a big thing.
No. What position would you want to be
placed
in?
Whoa.
I'm going to go first. I want my head to be stuffed in between John Cena's... so I can forever.
I'm sorry. What?
Okay.
Could you repeat that?
How about?
I said I want my face to be put through John Cena's.
I want a T-pose. I want a T-pose on these fools for all of eternity.
I want to be in the middle of wrecking the libs.
I want to be Ben Shapiro.
Literally,
limbs on.
Okay, that was epic.
Jamie?
I'm gonna be right here with my best friend.
Aww. Well, that makes one of us. Kidding. For Tabitha, let's just say something stupid and mean because she's not here. She would like to be on Mars with clowns.
Oh.
Aww.
Ashley.
Mad well,
Pokeballs. Good lord.
I want to be in my absolute favorite place, you know, with like my absolute, the most important person to me. Someone that I deeply care about and just really love.
John Cena.
I want to be in bed with Scout.
There it is.
Me too.
A little stinky.
We're peacing out. Next episode will be Steel. Hopefully it will be more well received than tonight.
Real Steel, baby.